Has it been 3 years ago since Dr. Rice passed away, went to heaven? I think so. At the funeral service where I spoke, his body was there lying in state in the auditorium. They didn't have the body at the funeral home where people came and talked to the family. They brought the body in the church auditorium and they had it there and an hour or so before the service you could come and see his body. And I walked in the auditorium, and I had not seen his body since he passed away. And I went down, look at it, to all that could die of John R. Rice. And somebody said, as I was there, they weren't talking to me, overheard somebody say, "What a pity for such a mind to be lost to our world." And that statement arrested my attention, captured me. What a pity for such a mind to be lost to our world or our generation. And I resolved, as I stood there looking in the face of my good friend of many years, or in the face of his body, I resolved to do all I could to see to it that that mind was not lost. John said, "I am the voice," or "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Who are you, John? Some say you're this, some say you're that, some another. Who? What do you say about yourself? I'm a voice. I'm just a voice. Now, the word voice there in the original language is an interesting word. It's the word phone or phono, from which we get our word phonograph, amplifier, and so forth. Now, I want you to look at me. I'm preaching to you. Don't want you taking notes while I preach. I want you to look at me. This is time for me to preach to you. It's not class. And I want you to listen to me now. I'm trying to change you, not instruct you. I'm trying to change you, not give you sermons to preach someday when you're pastor of a church. And I can't change you if you're there acting like you're in class somewhere. I want you to put your pens up. I want to put your pencils up. I want you to look at me. And I want to preach to you for a while. I want you to hear what I got to say. I have to say that about once a month. I'll say it once a week if I have to. But I believe when preaching time comes, every man, every woman, every child, every usher, everybody in the PA room, everybody everywhere ought to sit up and look at the preacher and hear what he has to say and give God a chance to change your life. And but the word there, I am a voice. I'm a phone or phono. P-H-O-N-E or P-H-O-N-O. I don't mean a phony like the bass section of the choir is phony. Actually, what it says is I am an amplifier. That's what the word really means. John the Baptist, they said, "John," somebody says, "You're this, somebody that. Who are you? What do you say?" And John said, "I'm an amplifier of one who comes after. I'm a voice, I'm a phonograph, I'm a microphone, I'm a PA system. It's my job to take the truth that of Jesus. It's my job to amplify it and to see to it everybody hears it and use as a PA system to carry what the truth of God as an amplifier would take a voice." Now, nobody appreciates amplifiers and PA systems like a preacher does. I'll tell you what, you preach in many places as I preach, and you will thank God for this PA system here. We have the best PA system in America, none like it, but I go some places, sometimes they have mixers, what I call a mixer. You get loud, the PA goes down automatically, and I have beat the dickens out of many a PA man about that very thing. I wanted to, but I love PA. I love the PA system. And why? Because it takes what's up here that comes out here and amplifies it and magnifies it and spreads it across the congregation. Now, John said, "That's what I am." Said, "I am the voice of the one who's coming. Then in John 3:30 it says, he must increase and I must decrease. Now what does that mean? That means his volume must go up and my volume must go down. That's what he's saying. He's saying, when I tell you what he says, I want to turn the volume up. And what I say, I'll turn the volume down. He said the big thing is for me to deliver his message. Now, that's what I want to be. I want to be an amplifier. I want to take a truth, and I want to amplify that truth. My mother used to sit by a wood stove for heat and a kerosene lamp for light. And by the hour, I was talking to my sister the other day at the hospital, and I said, by the hour, she would sit there, and she would teach me truths. I mean, unbelievable truths and deep things that I've never heard anybody else say exactly like Mother said them. And she taught me, and the world needs to know what my mother knew and knows now. And it's my job to see to it that as much of this world knows those truths. It doesn't matter who presents the truth or who thought it made a difference at all. Whether it's original, whether she got it from somebody or they got it from somebody, whether she thought it ever, it made a difference. The importance is get the truth out. It doesn't matter whether I dreamed it up or I got it from somebody else. The truth is all we get from somebody else. Paul said, I can but speak the things I've seen and heard. What is Paul saying? I'm a voice. I heard some truth. Now, some people don't have the amplifier, PA system, the amplifier. Some people are in remote areas. Take a mother, for example, in a little cottage somewhere, and sitting there teaching her son truths. And there are many of you who had mothers that taught you deep, great, wonderful truths about life. And the world needs to hear what your mother taught. And I resolved a long time ago that what my mother taught me, I mean, philosophies about life and great truths about life. I made the promise to God that I was going to let the world know about those truths. I'm a voice. I'm taking the truth of somebody who does not have the amplification, or somebody who does not have the hearing, or somebody who does not preach to great crowds, or somebody who's not maybe known as well as a few of us are. And I want to take those truths that my Sunday school teachers have given me through the years, and my mama gave me, and that those who've influenced my life have given me, and I want those truths to get out. And tonight, I'm a voice. I don't give you anything much original. I'm not sure if there's anything I know that somebody didn't teach me or somebody didn't think of before. But what am I? I am a collection of truth. And I've collected some truth here. I've collected some truth here. Now, I want the truth to get it. I couldn't care less whether I get credit for it or not. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. I am a voice. A voice for what? Well, 2,000 years ago, a baby was born, and that little boy lived for 33 years. He confined his ministry to a geographical area of about 60 to 80 miles long and about 30 to 50 miles wide, and to 33 years as far as the chronological era is concerned. And he taught the truths. Now, thank God, many of those truths were placed in this book. But the world has not heard those truths. And John said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice. Let the world know what the Savior said. He said it to one woman by Sychar's well. But the world has found out about it because people are willing to be voices to tell the great truth spoken to one woman. He said that great new birth message in John chapter 3. He spoke it to one man at midnight, Nicodemus. But thank God, voices have taken that truth and have amplified it and spread it around the world for these many, many generations. And God doesn't need a talented person. God doesn't need a big person. God doesn't need a brilliant mind. God needs a voice. There's a truth to get up. And the world does not know about that truth. And God needs voices to say, look, here's what 2,000 years ago a man said. in comparative obscurity, in a little land that's almost unknown in the world, over in a little small country of the world in a corner, insignificant place, to just a handful of people. He spoke to one man, one woman at noonday, and one man at midnight, and one man beside the road, and one man up a tree. But let me tell you something. Those things that were said by our Savior in relative obscurity 2,000 years ago are the things that will change this whole world tonight. And the world languishes tonight because you and I have the truth on our coffee table and have the truth in our bookshelf and have the truth in our house. We don't tell what He taught. And oh, listen tonight. I am a voice. I'm none. Doesn't matter how big I am, long as I take the truth that our Lord gave and become a voice to amplify that truth. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I've been born again. Jesus said, tell it on the housetops. The truth. The truth. The Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But somebody must say, I'm a voice. I'm a voice. I'm not talking just about salvation. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about truths of God. I'm talking about the Christian life. John said, I'm just a voice. Now, you look tonight at a man. That's a pretty good thought right there. You look at a man. But you look at a man tonight who's not a great, brilliant mind. I'm not an intellectual like Dr. Evans, and I'm not a brilliant man, a great dynamic person like Lee Robertson or a Bob Jones Sr. I'm not like that, but I'm a voice, and God knows I've tried to take everything that I've ever heard from anybody in the world that the world ought to hear, and I've gotten me books. I put it in books. I started a pastor school, and the nation comes, preachers of the nation come, and it spreads across the country. Why? I'm a voice. It doesn't matter whether the folks know who I am or not. It just matters if the truth gets out. It doesn't matter how famous I am or if I'm not famous at all. It just matters. The truth's got to get out. I'm a voice. And I tell you what, the world needs to know what my mother taught me. And I'm going to tell the world what my mother taught me. Because if I don't tell it, nobody's going to tell it. I'm a voice taking those truths taught to me when I was a boy, sitting at my mother's knee, on her knee, and in her lap, and at her side, as she taught me the great truths of life. And I am going to be a voice to amplify what she taught. My pastor used to stand in near obscurity and teach truths to about 100 people on a Wednesday night that the world needs to hear. I don't know if I've ever known a Bible student like my pastor was. A little bitty fella, not real dynamic, about 5'7" tall and sort of frail. And not a humorous person, hardly ever told anything funny. But he knew this book like no man I ever knew in my life. And he would stand there on Wednesday night, down on a lower level, like this. And he would teach the Bible to about 100 people right over here in this section. And I'd sit there as a teenage boy, and I used to say, the world ought to know what he's saying. I mean, this 100 people, and most of them are just paying their dues for coming to church on Wednesday night anyway, and most of them not listening to what he's saying. But as a teenage boy, I said, listen, the world ought to know what he's saying. And by the grace of God Almighty, the world is finding out what my pastor said. Why? I'm a voice. I'm a voice. And he had the answer. And he had the truth. Oh, let me tell you something. I'm getting a little weary of these preachers that are always wanting to preach original sermons. I mean, who cares whether the Antichrist is black, white, maroon, chartreuse, or a Pollock? Who cares? Who cares whether he's coming from the land of Israel or from a Gentile? Who cares? Who cares? It won't change the world a bit if brass is a symbol of judgment in the Bible. It won't change the world a bit if silver is a symbol of redemption in the Bible. It won't change the world a bit if one is the number of unity and two is the number of separation and three is God's number and four is the earth's number and five is number of grace and six is man's number and seven is God's number and eight is the number of new beginning. It won't change the world a bit, but those truths of the Bible. I'm talking about the great truths of salvation. Listen, folks, you don't understand what was taught here last Wednesday night behind this pulpit. You don't understand that. I mean, this great matter of salvation, inexplainable, completely unexplorable, inexhaustible, this great redemption that God has given us, whereby we became partakers of the great divine nature of God Himself. And God is planted within us the nature of Himself. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What truth! What tremendous truth! I sat and learned those truths at the feet of my preacher as he spoke to about 100 people, and my heart began to pound in my breast, and I'd say, the world ought to hear that! And blessed be God, the world is hearing it right now. Why? I'm a voice! That's what I'm a voice. I'm not trying to startle you with anything new. I'm trying to take the great truths that God has given me and be a good steward of those truths and let you find out what somebody else knew. I want to be his amplifier. I sat for 22 years at tables with John Rice and listened to him philosophize. I remember time and time again, I said, Dr. John, that ought to be in book. But he never would put his philosophies in book. I don't know why he wouldn't. He put his Bible studies, he put his sermons, he put his poetry, put his songs in book form. But never his great philosophies about life. And I'd say, Dr. John, please, print that. He'd sit there and look at me like that. And he'd always put his fingernails on the table like that. And he said, Dr. Childs, I've got too much to print. But I said, Dr. John, what you know, someday your mind will be gone as far as this world's concerned, and you ought to leave it. Well, bless God, he did leave it. He left it right up here in this cranium. And I've given my life not only to be a voice to teach what fell the world, what my mother taught me, and not only be a voice to tell the world what my pastor taught me, but I've dedicated myself to be a voice. Why? The great truths that I heard, that nobody else ever heard, that fell from the lips of this great giant of God, the greatest Christian I guess I ever knew in my life. The great truths, they'll not go unheard. I'll spread them for him. And that mind that was so brilliant, I'll capture all I can, and I'll let the world know what I learned. Why? I'm a voice. Voice. I don't care if you say to me, boy, you sure are smart. That doesn't matter. The truth's got to get out. That's all that matters. I don't care if I'm a good preacher or a bad preacher. The truth's got to get out. I don't care if I'm considered smart or shallow. The truth's got to get out. I heard some things come from my mother's lips that nobody else ever heard. And the world will go without those things unless I tell the world what she said. I heard some words from the voice of my pastor that nobody else ever heard. As I would sit in his office, he'd teach me things. And unless I tell it, the world's not going to hear it. And I heard some things that John Rice said nobody has ever heard. Oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we preachers quit worrying about plagiarism and who's stealing what and who's getting what. Brother, if there's a truth I've got and it's worth anything, you use it. You use it. I don't care if you use my sermon word for word. Use it. Use it. Why? Because the truth has got to get out. We've got to say what we've heard that others have not heard. We've got to spread it. We've got to be a voice. I used to wonder why God put me, a little scrawny preacher like me, with all the big preachers. I used to wonder why God put me when I was just in my late 20s and early 30s, and all these years on the program with men many years my senior. When I was in my late 20s and early 30s, I was sharing the platform with John Rice and Bob Jones Sr. and R.G. Lee and Ford Porter and Beauchamp Bick and all the great men of God, 20 and 30 and 40 and sometimes 50 years my senior. I used to wonder why. Now I know why. God needed somebody to take what old Dr. Bob Jones taught me and be a voice to magnify it across the country in this generation. God needed somebody to take the truth that those men taught me. Well, I recall one night I spent the night in a room, motel room, with Dr. Beecham Dick. That old man talked all night long. I couldn't shut him up to save my life. He talked all night long. And finally, it dawned on me. I'm sitting in the sleeping room in the same room with Dr. Beecham Vick, who at that time was pastor of the largest church in the world. I jumped up and got me a piece of paper and got me a pen and wrote down what he said. Why? Because nobody will hear what he said. We need voices in this world. We don't need talent. We need voices. We don't need dynamic. We need voices. We don't need pretty voice. We need voices. Voices to take the truth of our fathers, the faith of our fathers, and say to our generation, this is what they said. And magnify it like this microphone system magnifies my voice tonight. God needed an amplifier. He needed somebody who was young enough to live for the next generation, yet old enough to preach with the last generation. He needed somebody to take some of the great truths that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. knew, that probably nobody knew like he knew them, and amplify them in our generation. Somebody to sit at the table with John Rice, or spend the night with the Beecham Vick in a motel room, or spend time across the table with R.G. Lee. I want to tell you young men something. I want you to hear me well. Heavy, heavy hangs over your heads. If you leave this place and go around this country and try to bring a bunch of new stuff, listen. You have learned enough in the years of training at Hiles Anderson College and at First Baptist Church of Hammond to take the truth you've learned and spread it around this country like an army of messengers. The world doesn't need all this. You know, the world doesn't need tonight a series of messages or a year of messages about what's in the tribulation period. Bless God, be quite frank with you, I could care less what's in the tribulation period. I want to know what's at the marriage of the Lamb. I got my ticket already, exemption from the tribulation period. I'm saying, look, what the world needs to know is how to pray, how to read your Bible, how to get saved, how to rear your kids, how to behave yourself, how to walk with God. That's what the world needs to know. We need voices to go around this country taking the truths that we've learned and letting others know the truths that we've learned. There are hundreds of preachers all over America who are not well known. I mean this. The greatest preaching in the world tonight is not coming from this pulpit. Nor is the greatest preaching in the world at this very moment coming from the big city pulpits across America. The greatest preaching in this world tonight is taking place at this very moment out at the forks of the creeks where your country preacher, men of God, who have not been privileged to pastor in an area where there are thousands and tens of thousands and millions, but men of God who stand tonight in little country places and out of the way obscure places with their Bibles open. Men who have more time to study than I have. Men who do not have great congregations. Men who walk with God and know God and know this book. Now, you know what I do? I travel across this country meeting those men. And I find out what those men have that the world needs to hear. And they who have no hearing, nationwide or worldwide, give to me. I do have some hearing across the nation and around the world, and they give to me. I get from them what they know. And let me tell you something as I travel across this country, brethren. There are men out yonder who have the messages that people need to hear. And they have some great truths that men need to hear. What am I? I'm a voice. Somebody said, well, the more I hear you preach, the more I see Lester Roloff in you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'd like to be his amplifier. Somebody said, Brother Heil, you preach more and more like John Rice all the time. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'd love to be his amplifier. Somebody said, Brother Heil, have you been with Tom Malone lately? You sound like him a little bit. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I'd love to be his. I don't care if I ever have any truth that's original. I want to collect every bit of truth and knowledge I can about this book and say, folks, here's what I got. I'm a PA system. This is what he said and he said and he said, and get the truth around this world, our generation. John the Baptist said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. There are men here in this place who have much to offer. You know what I want to be? I want to be a helper to these men here on the platform and others who work here. I want to be a potential helper. I want to give Larry Bullard to somebody else. I'm sorry. I want to give him. God has placed Larry Bullard under my care. Watch care. I'm his pastor. I'm his boss. I want him, because of me, to be the best Larry Bullard he can be. I want him to reach his potential. I want Ray Young to be the best Ray Young he can be. I want Glenn Lively to be the best Glenn Lively he can be. I want to be used of God to help. I don't want to suppress these men and keep them under my thumb. I want these men to have every opportunity they can have to get the truth out. And I want to be used of God to help them. Because these men are fine men. Each one has a great talent and ability. And I want them to have a chance to get the truth out that they know. I want to be a potential builder. I want to be used of God to let Wendell Evans become the most famous Wendell Evans he can possibly become. I want God to let me be used to let Jim Jorgensen become the best known and finest Jim Jorgensen he can possibly become. Why? Because I'm not a big shot. I'm a voice. John the Baptist, born of woman. John the Baptist, whose hands reached up and took the back of our Lord's neck and lowered him in the river Jordan. John the Baptist, who baptized our lovely Lord. John the Baptist, who preached the great... What are you, John? Well, I'm a great citywide evangelist. What are you, John? I'm a great Bible teacher. No. John the Baptist said, I'm a voice. I'm a voice. I want to tell you, be a microphone, amplification system, a PA system to let Jesus' truth be magnified around the world. And then may I say this. Not only do I want you men to have the loudest, be the loudest voices you can be, and have the most people to hear you that we can have, but I want to train you men to be my voice when I'm gone. One of these days, this voice will be silent. One of these days, these hands will be folded across my breast. And one of these days, these eyes will not see, and these ears will not hear, and this voice will not speak. I don't want the truth I've tried to preach here in this pulpit and around this nation to die. I want you young men here, and I want you fellows on the platform. I want you to get every truth you hear. I want you to get everything you can hear in this place. And I want you to absorb it when I'm gone. I want you to do for me what I'm doing for my pastor. I want men all over America to know and use what I've collected through these years. I went up to a certain state in the Northwest. The pastor met me at the airport. Before we got in the car, or before we started the car, we got in, he looked over and said, Dr. Hyams, I get your tapes. Now, he said, every Sunday morning I preach your Sunday morning sermon, 2 weeks after you preach it, and every Sunday night I preach your Sunday night sermon. He said, for 3 years I've done that. Now, he said, you can't preach anything here that I preach for that you preach for the last 3 years. So I got the sermons I preached the day before and preached them both while I was there. And then stuck my tongue out at him and said, study, you lazy rascal, study. You say, preach. Did that upset you? Brother, I went home that night thanking God for it. Thank God. Whatever truth that's been gone from this pulpit for 3 years, somebody has denied my voice to carry that truth. Can you imagine what would happen in this world, this country tonight, if every preacher in this country preached the same sermon? So we could be voices to each other. I was preaching down Atlanta, Georgia area. I have a sermon I preach sometimes called Amnon Had a Friend. I preach that. And so I preached it in the morning service at Atlanta, Georgia, big school there in the church. And so I noticed the students were looking a little angry at me while I was preaching. I can understand it. And I got through. students crowded around me and said, "We don't appreciate you preaching our principal's sermon." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Listen, 3 days ago, two or 3 days ago, he preached that sermon. You come here and got his sermon. It just so happened he takes my tapes. And he preached Amnon Had a Friend 3 days before I did." And those kids were mad at me. Angry. They said, "You shouldn't get your own sermon." He said, "Well, huh? Are you offended about that?" "Brother, I haven't got anything that I know that I wouldn't like for everybody in the world to use. I don't know. If you want to use my sermon, use them. I'll tell the fellow I got them from, thanks for you." How's that in California? I'll turn back. I preached a sermon in this pulpit called "A Covenant with Your Eyes." A preacher in California got that sermon and preached it almost word for word. So the Lord had a sermon contest. Wait till I get to it. Had a sermon contest. Dr. John Rice wrote this preacher and said, "Would you enter a sermon?" And the preacher said to his secretary, "Get one of my sermons, get the tape, transcribe it, type it up, enter it." She got my sermon, "A Covenant with Your Eyes." You know, that sermon won the prize. He got a cash award for that. My sermon, "A Covenant with Your Eyes." It's my... And mine. My sermon. And then I entered a sermon in the same contest and got 10th place. Boy, next time I saw a preacher, he said, "Dr. Howes, would a suit of clothes be okay? Overcoat." I said, "Keep going." He said, "I didn't know." He said, "Forgive me. I know that's plagiarism." I said, "Brother, if I've got anything I've ever preached, you can plagiarize every word I've got. I don't understand these preachers that get all upset because their sermons are stolen. Or their truths. Listen, I can but speak the things I've seen and heard, and all I preach is plagiarism. Take what I've preached and use it word for word, paragraph for paragraph, comma for comma. Be a voice. Let's get the truth out." Years ago, Dr. and Ms. R.G. Lee were on vacation. He was up in years. They're traveling through a country area. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning came. They stopped at a little country church beside the road, a young fellow pastoring there. Dr. Lee walked in. The young fellow didn't know his Dr. Lee, and he stood up and he said, "I'm preaching today on the subject Payday Someday. A sermon Dr. Lee preached over 1,200 times, the most famous sermon of this generation." He had memorized Payday Someday, word for word. "I introduce to you Jezebel. I introduce to you Ahab, the toad of the devil. Devil's toad, croaking for evil. That's all I know of it." That young preacher preached a half of the 40, 50 people, word for word. Dr. Lee got out and got in the car, and he said to his wife, "Oh, my soul." He told me this story, by the way. He said, he said, "Did you know what that young man did?" His wife, looking sort of innocent-like, said, "What did he do?" "You know what he did. He preached my sermon word for word. Audacity." And she said, "Yes, honey." And she said, "That's the best I ever heard that sermon preached to." If you want to take my sermon on Jesus last Sunday night, memorize it and preach it, all of you do it. I don't care. You say, "Should I tell where I got it?" I don't care. You tell where you got it or not. Because if you tell where you got it, I have to tell where I got it. voice. I'm not a reverend. I'm a voice. I'm not a doctor. I'm a voice. I'm not a scholar. I'm a voice. There's a world that needs the truth of God. In God's name, let's let them know what it is. Preaching in Wadsworth, Ohio. Most embarrassing thing happened to a fellow. He stood up. Remember the sermon I preached here? There were 100. Let's sit down. There were 5,000 people that followed Jesus when he ate. And from that 5,000, there came, 500 who were there after he was resurrected. And from that 500, there came 120 who were in the upper room. And from that 120, there came 70 who were witnesses. From that 70, there came 12 who were apostles. And from that 12, there came 3 who were the inner circle. Fellows are begging to get their pens out right now all over this place. And from that 3 came 1 who leaned on Jesus' breast. And the sermon is, don't be satisfied with just being a part of the 5,000 who were there to eat. Be a part of the 500 who walked with the resurrection Savior. But don't be satisfied with being a part of the 500. Be a part of the 120 who pray down the fire of God. But don't be satisfied just being a part of the 120. Be a part of the 70 who go soul winning. But don't just be satisfied with being a part of the 70. Be a part of those 12 who gave their entire life to spreading the gospel of Christ. But don't be satisfied with being a part of just the 12. Be a part of the 3, the inner circle. But don't be satisfied with that. You be the one that leans on Jesus' breast. I was preaching in Wadsworth, Ohio. I call the name of this preacher. No, very famous preacher. He preached that sermon point for point. I was there. I was going to preach next. And I saw it. I was sitting out in the audience. He was preaching and going well. And then all of a sudden you could see a light bulb over his head. It hit him. That's my sermon. And he had a time. It was over. He said, Doctor, I'm sorry. He said, I preached your sermon. And I kidded. I said, yes, I was planning on preaching that tonight myself. I remember one night, John Rice and I were in Atlanta, Georgia, Decatur, Georgia. He lost his hearing aid that night, couldn't find it anywhere, just couldn't find it. And I preached a sermon on outside the gate. And Dr. John didn't hear a word I said. Would you believe what he preached on that night? Outside the gate, same sermon. We both got out of one of his books. Sure, brother, if there's anything John Rice knew the world needs to know, I want to be the voice to tell it. If there's anything my mother taught me the world needs to know, I want to be the voice to tell it. If there's anything that my pastor taught to 100 folks on Wednesday night the world needs to know, I want to tell it. And I beg you, young men, I beg you, don't let the truth that I've tried to preach from this place through these years die when I'm gone. Be a voice. You know, don't turn this on. I'm going to use the mic, but I don't want it dead. I'm not mad at that microphone because it copies what I say. I got news for you. Did you know what I say from right here? Those speakers over there are copying. I don't say, you sorry microphone, you get your own material. Be original. Don't plagiarize. That's my sermon. This microphone was put here so that the truth that's in this heart and in this mind can be amplified so that you thousands of folks tonight can hear what I'm preaching. And this heart, and this mind, and this voice, what's left of it, was placed on earth to be a microphone, a PA system. Why? So, the truths of those whose paths I've crossed, the truths of that godly Sunday school teacher named Proctor Boyd, who stood before me and taught me when I was a teenage lad, influenced me more than all my Sunday school teachers put together. Those truths must be known. And if they're known, I'm going to have to be the voice. A few months ago, the man that taught me how to be a soul winner went to heaven. About 90 years of age, Jesse Cobb was his name. He came to this church one night as a guest. Jesse Cobb went to heaven a few months ago. That man taught me how to be a soul winner. You know where I got the Roman road? I thought of the term Roman road, but you know where I got the Roman road soul winning plan that now is the most popular and most used soul winning plan in the world? You know where I got it? Jesse Cobb, the little deacon, Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, never taught a soul winning course. And I got that plan that Jesse Cobb used, and he talked to me. And thanks be to God, Jesse Cobb is being used of God all over this world. I wonder how many folk have been won to Christ in 1983 by somebody saying, do you know if you died today that you'd go to heaven? It's everywhere. You know where that started? I don't either. But I know where I heard it. I heard it from Jesse Cobb. And that little man who went soul winning and said, a sincere heart, nobody ever knew who he was. By the way, I aim to make famous everybody I know of that I think deserves to be famous. Those who've gone on. If God can use me as a voice to let Jesse Cobb be known for what he is and was. All over America, people say, Dr. Hiles, I use your Roman road plan of soul winning. Now, I thought of that term, Roman road, when I was preaching at the First Baptist Church of Rocky Mount, Texas, one night at a Southern Baptist meeting, of all things. And the word Roman road, I said, you look to look at Isaiah and tell him the Isaiah's way to heaven. Or I said, go to John and tell him John's path to heaven. Or I said, go to Romans and tell him the Roman road to heaven. And it stuck like that, Roman road. And now then, though folks don't know where it came from, it's used, but do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Would you like to know? If I showed you how you could know, would you do it? That little plan that I've taught, I have a book about it. I got it from Jesse Cobb. I'm just a voice. In all the 33 books I've written, I doubt very seriously if there's one original thought in any of those books. It's a collection of people who've taught me. And I want to be a voice to get out the truth they've taught me. How grateful I am that great people have spoken to me. How grateful I am that people with great mind who are not really well known have crossed my path. How thankful I am for that dear missionary, that dear retired missionary named Gustave Norling, who spent his life in a remote part of the world, came back to die outside of Marshall, Texas, 37 years ago. And every Thursday afternoon, I'd go to his house. And as the old man was on his deathbed, he'd talk to us preachers, handful of us, gather around his deathbed and say, Mr. Brother Norling, talk to us. And that old man would speak to us for the hour, week after week after week after week. I sat beside his bed. All the things that he got from remote places as he served God in villages around the world. I do not know how much of what I've taught you in the last 25 years was me just being a voice for old Brother Gustave Norling. Fui on claimed originality. Fui on copyright. Fui on it. If you can steal one of my books, sell more copies than I have, do it. Do it. You better not. I'm just preaching. I want to be the one to decide whether or not you can sell more copies. I don't make a dime off those books. Russell Anderson says, Dr. Hiles, in all the years I've known him, has never asked me for a dime. Not one dime. He's asked me for several million dollars, but never asked me for one dime. I was preaching in a distant state. Right in the middle of my message, the PA went bad. And I could not be heard as I wanted to be heard. And I went back to my room that night and I said that message I wanted the folks to hear. But the PA went bad. And I was not heard, and the truth that I gave needed to be heard. I'm God's PA, and I'm your PA. And I'm my mama's PA system, and I'm my preacher's PA system. And I'm Dr. John Rice's PA system, and I'm one of Dr. Bob Jones Sr.'s PA systems. And I'm one of Dr. Beecham Vick's PA systems. And I'm one of Dr. Ford Porter's PA systems. And I'm one of Dr. Bill Rice's PA systems. And I'm one of Dr. R.G. Lee's PA systems. And I'm one of Brother Lester Roloff's PA systems. I'm just a voice. What more would a person want to be? Just a voice. Gathering truth from people who are not known, and people that don't have a hearing, and taking that truth and being their voice. How about that? Who are you, Brother Hiles? Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world? No, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. Who are you, founder and chancellor of Hiles Anderson College? No, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. A while ago, I was talking to Mother. She whispered, just faintly whispered. She said, "What you going to do tonight, son?" And I said, "I'm going to church." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because it's Sunday." And I said, "Mother, I go to church every Sunday for Jesus' sake." And she said, "That's nice." She said, "Son, where do you go tomorrow?" "Tomorrow, I'll be blazing the trail for Jesus in Florida." Eat your envious hearts out. Brother, in just about 20 hours, I'll be bathing on the beach. And Mama said, "You're going to see Bob Gray?" And I said, "No, not now, but a few weeks later I'm preaching for him." And with a raspy voice she talked. Now that little voice has never preached a sermon. And those hands have never written a book. And that mind will go, what's in that mind will go unknown unless she has a voice. Dr. John Rice has written his last book, preached his last sermon, checked into his last hotel, checked his bags at an airport for the last time, stood behind a sermon in a sword conference to preach for the last time, published the sword of the Lord for the last time. He has no way to be heard unless someone or someone who knew him become his voice. You know, one of the most tragic things in this world, some of the most brilliant people in this world, hear me now, some of the most, I want every young person to hear me now, some of the most brilliant minds in this world are in this room tonight, hidden behind white hair. And you young people think they're stupid. Young men, You tapped your dad's mind. You say my dad isn't even saved. I don't care. Tap his mind. I think I told you this Friday night. I got on the airplane last Monday to fly to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to where Stan Harris is from. And all the people there thank God for that. They gave me a pre-assigned seat, of course. Walked back and sat down and had a window seat right next to me in the next aisle. And I had three seats on one side and two seats on the other. I was on the two-seat side. Was a pretty little girl, about 21 years old. Daniest could all get out. Looked like she'd blow out or she'd fly out the window. Fragile. Little toothpick arms. I said, how are you? I know what you are. Don't tell me. You're a college student. You've been home for Christmas. You're going back home. She said, no, I'm a sailor. And I said, never in my life have I felt so insecure about my protection and my country as I feel right now. But I thought, maybe clerk typist or office worker. And I said, what do you do in the Navy? She said, I'm a diesel mechanic. You know what I learned? I tapped her mind. She knows something I don't know. I learned about diesel mechanics. After 1 hour on the airplane, I could take one engine down and put it back together. I'm sorry, I could take it down. I'm sorry, I didn't learn the other half. But I learned. Why? She knows something I don't know. I want to know it. The voice. Every person who crosses my path knows something I don't know. I want to find out what it is so I can tell other people what that person knows that I don't know and the world doesn't know. Lying in the hospital bed tonight is a little whisper, that's all. A little whisper. That's all. She'll never be able to tell the world what she knows unless her boy tells the world for her. Resting in Laurel Land Cemetery tonight in Dallas, Texas, is the body of my preacher, the man whose hands were placed on my brow at my ordination, the man whose signature is on my license and also my ordination to preach. Man who taught me more about the Bible than every teacher I ever had in college all put together. A man who stayed and walked with God and stayed in his study and walked out and told a handful of people what he learned. He cannot preach a sermon. I want to be his voice. And that's what I want you to be. A voice. The greatest born of woman. Wonder if John the Baptist had stationery out up at the top of it. It said, Dr. John the Baptist, D.D. No. No, he said, I must decrease. He must increase. Well, what are you, John? Ph.D.? I'm a voice. I'm a voice. Ph.D.? No, I'm a voice. I'm a voice. Every time Wendell Evans writes me a letter, he signs it, Brother Evans. Brother Evans. He has his earned Ph.D., but it's Brother Evans. Every time Dr. Rice wrote me a letter, he signed it, either John R. Rice or Brother Rice. If he called me on the telephone, he said, this is Brother Rice. Dr. Rice? Not to him. No. Editor Rice? No, not to him. Author Rice? No, not to him. Brother Rice, a voice. I'm going to tell you, and I'm through. This old world tonight doesn't need a bunch of great orators. Thomas Paine could take care of that. This world tonight doesn't need a bunch of brilliant minds. We got a bunch of fellows going to the devil right now in seminaries all over this country because a bunch of brilliant minds are thinking up some wacky doctrines. We don't need any theologians. Need some voices. Some voices. Some voices to take the truth of God and the great truths that simple people, as we call simple people, some of the greatest people, greatest minds in this world, listen, some of the greatest minds in this world tonight are beneath white hair in this room, in the minds of grandmothers. And yet, some of you crazy, ignoramus, you never spend 5 minutes a month with your grandmother. Brilliant. Brilliant. Going to waste.
Why?
Because of your pride, arrogance. There's some things about life that you'll never learn unless you learn it from her. And there's some things that she knows about life the world will never hear unless you become her voice. I'll never forget. Joe Boyd. Evangelist Joe Boyd. All-American Joe Boyd. Graduate of Texas A&M, Joe Boyd. Heavyweight boxing champion at Texas A&M, Joe Boyd. Heavyweight wrestling champion at Texas A&M, Joe Boyd. CPA, Joe Boyd. Accountant Joe Boyd became a preacher down to East Texas. He moved to East Texas so he could be close to my church and I could pastor his wife and two children while he traveled. Bought a house down there in East Texas. One day, now he's a graduate of an agricultural military college, Texas A&M. He's out planting his garden. No, working his garden. Little gal from our church, name is Smoke, Eva Smoke. She had a PhD from the first grade. Not Eva Smoke, but no, Eva's her daughter-in-law, but Mrs. Smoke. And she talks like you think all hillbillies talk. She came by and said, "Brother Boyd, how you doing?" He says, "My potatoes. Never do get a crop of potatoes." She said, "Won't you plant them with the moon?" He said, "I've taken all the courses in the agricultural college. You ever go to A&M? "No, never did. But I had a good crop of potatoes." Brother Boyd said, "That's against all scientific knowledge." She said, "How are you potatoes?" Next year, Brother Joe had the best potato crop he'd ever had. I said, "How did you do it?" He said, "I planted by the moon." So the world's got enough big shots. It's got enough doctors of theology. It needs some voices to speak by the grace of God what we've seen and what we've heard, so that those who follow us may know that known by those who preceded us. Our